Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello?
I'm not going to look at you.
I'm someone who doesn't know how to start a podcast. Hello?
I'm going to look in the camera the whole time because I'm an actor.
Guys, I'm dying. My love of my life is here. Miss Drea De Matteo.
Oh,
my Italian sister from another mister. She's here. She's queer. She told me I put her on her bad side, which she doesn't even have one. Hello?
This is the side where you know I'm 50.
Girl, if I look like you when I'm 50, I will happily sell my soul to the devil. Happily.
How old are you?
For real. How old do you think I am? Just guess.
You're in your 30s.
I'm 33.
Yeah,
but I look
baby.
45.
You're a baby.
Years old. I feel like you and I look the same age.
No.
To be honest. Yeah, I do. I do. And you look amazing.
I have my tits rolled up into my bra.
Ah! Dead. They're just rolled like into socks. You can say
they're
anything
rolled.
You want. It's my podcast. Come on.
They're rolled.
You are the hottest, and you have two babies, and you still look hot.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, not that you wouldn't, but I mean, you know, sometimes women don't bounce back, and
I'm
bounce
stitched
all
into
the
my
hell
jeans.
Back. You are.
Yep.
Dead. Me too. And I haven't
breathe.
Even had kids. So
I'm twitchy too.
Okay. Wait. So tell me why you were late. Because she was
because
late today.
I was telling my girlfriend that I was going to do, I have to do another podcast after you. I don't
what?
Know anything about
are
podcasts.
Are you becoming a podcast whore?
I don't know anything about them. This is all new to
what
me.
What do you
I
think this is?
I'm
what
like
you...
in the dark ages.
What do you think this is right now?
This is a podcast.
She literally walked in. She's like, why are we in an abandoned warehouse? And why are you wearing a wig?
I thought I was going to your house, man.
This is your snuff film.
You're gonna fucking murder me today.
I know, right? I will. But you look so good. Okay, so tell me. So you were talking to your friend.
I was because we're working on a brand right now. We've been working on an alcohol brand, but now we're moving it over to a regular beverage because the alcohol thing is really difficult. But it's all beauty related and all this stuff.
I love that.
But she was like, "Wait a minute, you're going to do all these? I'm talking to people about podcasts today. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to have a podcast."
Yes.
And I was like, "I don't fucking know anything.
You need to be have
about
your own
podcasts.
Yeah."
I want to be. I mean, I'm used to being on camera. Radio. This is like radio.
Well, it's
radio.
It is, but it's on YouTube too. So there's a YouTube, so they get to see what you look like and hear you talk, and it's recorded. Guys, you know Drea. She's from The Sopranos. She's from Sons of Anarchy. She's from fucking everything. You've been in so much shit at this point. Like, what else? Like, everything.
I'm from another planet.
She's from another planet. You know. I mean, shout out to Will Keenan who. Got us on the Endemol team and did the mothership
with
you.
I was like, Will Keenan, who's that? I just totally spaced out. I had a dementia moment.
Dead.
No, I really did.
They say that people, I just read a fact, they say people that have a darker sense of humor are more likely to develop dementia.
My mother has dementia. That makes total sense.
She does?
Oh, yeah. Aww. Her name, you know, she's Donna DeMatteo. Now yeah. It's Donna Dementia.
Do you call her mom Donna Dementia?
Yeah, either that or Donna S. Thompson, because she's a writer and she's psycho and she's crazy. And now that she's has dementia, she's even more fucking bizarre.
Does she still write?
And she can't. Not with this. She's bizarre. She's okay. I've been writing all day.
And then you just look at the piece of paper and it's just like squirrels. She hasn't been
writing. There's no writing.
No. Yeah. That's sad. I'm sorry. I know.
It's really bizarre. It's wild to watch that
happen.
Ravage someone's mind who was like, you know, just a highly functioning human being.
And smart and quick.
See, maybe I have dementia because I'm forgetting how to put my words together.
Oh, no. You know what happened to me the other day? I was standing at the gas station, and you know how, like, when you pay, you have to enter your zip code for your credit card?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't drive, so I don't know how it is to stand at the gas station.
She's like, I have someone pump my gas, you poor person.
Where is my Ella?
I couldn't remember my zip code, and I know it perfectly, 91302, but I couldn't.
That's
fucking
good. Tell everybody.
Think of it. Yeah, come to my house, guys. Come hang
address.
Out. But anyway, I couldn't think of it. And my brain started to hurt because I couldn't think of it. I was like, ow. And I had to Google it. That's how bad it got.
That
I couldn't even,
it
didn't even come to
Total
me.
Total brain fog.
I was holding asparagus the other day and I was like, what is this called?
You'll know when you smell your pee.
I couldn't think of it. I was standing there just staring at it. I don't know what this is called. Anyway. So you were late because
all of a sudden these texts were flooding in about having to meet with somebody about a podcast tomorrow.
So you're going to do your own podcast.
I don't know. This is bizarre to
this
me.
This is
I was
a
like,
great
well,
start.
Let me go pick Brittany's brain and this guy who's coming over later to do the other one. I don't know anything about any of this stuff.
Okay. So basically what it is you have an audience that hopefully likes you or they hate you because either way they listen. And the ones that do listen, even on my podcast, is called Worst First. So every podcast kind of has a theme, like what you talk about. So there's ghost podcasts, there's, you know, a crime podcast, there's like funny podcasts, whatever. Then my podcast, Worst First, is talking about all the worst shit that's ever happened to you. So it could be like a date, a drug trip, you know, a bad job. Anytime where you were like, this is the fucking worst.
You know what the worst thing is?
What?
You wrote me this yesterday and this morning in the shower. I was thinking, what are your worsts, Dre? And I couldn't remember anything.
Because really?
I don't remember anything. You know, I was having total brain fog. I was like,
I know you've gone on bad dates.
Oh, maybe you might have to remind me of some of them.
I mean, I don't remember the dates, but I know you have. I remember you've told me situations. You're single right now, right? Or no?
Yeah.
Semi.
Yeah.
We'll take that as a semi-single.
Are you dating? I'm dating.
And how is it going?
It's, I don't really date guys, really. Just aliens.
I was all, are you a lesbian now all of a sudden? Thanks for letting me know. Dead.
No, those days are long gone.
Yeah.
I've been seeing what it's like to, I've been single for like a year and a half.
And how does it feel? Because you've been in long relationships.
Since I was 21. I have
whole time.
My whole life, really. Even before that, I had a long-term boyfriend, but big 10-year relationship.
Yeah.
Back-to-back.
And now you're playing the field.
At almost 50. Bring me my walker, motherfucker.
Get in, slugger, while you can. Swing better.
I was just on a kind of a date with this guy that I was didn't want to totally not unimpress. But, you know, I have two kids. He's a lot younger because I don't know if I can hang with someone that's my age. I might fall asleep, you know? So he's young. He's like 34 years old.
Okay.
And I'm like, I have to pick up my kids. We're out somewhere. I'm like, I got to get my kids. Holy shit. My kid's calling me. She's in front of her school. He's like, okay. Drives me to the school to get the kids.
Aww.
I run at, this is at night, like 9:30 at night.
You left the kids at 9:30 at night?
She was at a theater thing. Yeah.
She's been at school since 3 p.m.
Fuck the kids.
She's just sitting there on a bench. Thanks a lot, Mom. Well, this relationship's going great.
She's like, I hate this fucking guy.
Your kids just standing in front of the school with their lunch pails.
Mama, where are you? I'm like, holy fuck, I'm on a date with someone closer to your age than mine.
So you forgot your kids. You went to school. He took
you. He rushes to the school because I'm freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the door and he pulled up to where one of those those the, you know, the parking things are, the big block.
Yeah.
The next thing he sees are two legs up in the air, straight up, and I fucking got out of the car, tripped over the thing, and because it was right there, I didn't see it. And I made sure I stayed in the air long enough to figure out how to break the fall. So I was.
You just paused. It was Matrix. You were just.
Yeah, I didn't know I could fly.
Oh.
I flew. I was flying
shit.
So that I could figure out where to get my hands, because I was texting her while I was falling, and I was still texting her. And when I came out of the fall, I was still texting her. And I couldn't walk for like a day. Literally couldn't get up my stairs.
Stop. That's so embarrassing.
He had to walk me everywhere. I was like, thank you.
Did you like this guy? You
yeah,
like him?
Yeah.
And he fell. So you were like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I'm so into this dude. I'm just eating shit in front of him, but also texting. So that's kind of impressive. Sending
so
the text.
Up.
The texts are getting through using perfect punctuation.
Oh my God. It was
oh
crazy.
Oh my God. So that just
I
happened?
I could not walk. And I was like trying to be cool and trying to get my kid. And I'm like, is that walker still in the trunk of the car? Monkey's walker.
Oh, monkey's walker. Oh,
monkey's
my God.
Old lady I take care of.
She takes care of this old lady monkey who we love, and she's like the best cook, and she's so sweet, and she's taking care of you your whole life, which is awesome, pretty
yeah.
much, right? Yeah. So so what did he say when you fell?
He was.
Was he laughing?
Felt bad,
was he dying?
But he was also kind of like.
I would have died. I would have just been like. I'm one of those people, like, I don't even know if you're okay yet, and I just laugh, like, even if, like, oh my God, you're concussed or whatever. I would have just been cracking up, and I'm like, oh my God, like, just filming it.
Yeah, it was
it would
little...
be on YouTube before you got up.
There was a lot of laughing happening.
Oh my God.
And then he had to remind me that I did it earlier in the week, and I was like, okay.
You did?
I guess.
You tripped again?
Maybe.
In front of him?
Maybe. I don't know.
What the fuck?
I'm 50.
I got two left feet. Just got two left feet. I can't help it.
So that was the worst. That's how my dating scene's going.
Sucks.
I like this thing.
Do you like this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually I have my dog, Nina the Weena, here.
Yeah.
The little dachshund. I usually bring her, and she sleeps on this. The tables are covered in blankets, guys. For those of you that are just listening to this, the tables are covered in like fuzzy white blankets. But this is why, because... people bang on it and people put their elbows on it and then it picks it up on the mic and then it sounds like shit. So that's something you learn for your podcast. You can lay on it.
I'm
going to
take my pants off and get on here.
Get it. Get me more views. Take your fucking pants off. I would love that.
I'm going to rub my legs on this shit.
So wait, so you have to tell me everything that's going on with you right now. Are you working on new projects? Like, what is happening? Because I know you and I did that Paradise City.
I had so much fun doing
that. That was really fun.
I had so much fun. That was such an unexpected, weird break from the regular acting world
right.
for me. I really liked that.
It was more chill, huh?
Yeah, I would love it if that went. And
me
that
too.
All of us could be together again. Because
yeah.
Lorenzo, Ash, just the vibe of being there, Reese and Boone, like that was fun, man.
It was really cool, and I like your character.
Yeah, my character. I don't even care about that. I just liked the hang
the
time.
Vibe, yeah. And everyone was mellow.
Yeah.
There was no drama. It's a really
very cool
show, guys. It's called Paradise City, and they're trying to sell it right now, and hopefully it'll get sold. And it's really cool. It's you,
well,
me,
I mean,
Bella Thorne.
Bella.
What's the main guy's name again? Everyone loves him. They're like obsessed with him.
Andy Black
from Black Veil Brides.
But the sad thing is that Cameron Boyce was the main character on the show. You know, he passed away.
He was on the show?
He was my protege. He was the kid I was taking under my wing.
I didn't even know that he was on the show.
He was on the show. Well,
that?
You were never,
I was never
you would
in
have
scenes
never
with
been
him.
In scenes with
yeah,
him and you wouldn't
and
know
he
it.
He was in the show?
He was the main kid. He was the kid he was the main kid. Intense. It was crazy. Poor thing. I didn't work
no
with him that
idea.
Much either. But
I didn't
Bella
even work
really
with him.
Probably knew him like all those Disney kids that are on the show
yeah.
knew him.
I had no idea. I didn't have him one day with him. That's crazy. And he was in it. And did he film all his stuff? Like,
yeah. I just did all the ADR on the phone calls with him. It was strange.
Oh, my God. Isn't that
I know.
So sad?
But it needs to come out just so that his fans and everyone
know,
could, you know, that was his last big thing, I think, that he did.
Wow. I had no idea. That's
yeah.
fucking depressing.
I know.
He was really cute with all his freckles.
He was adorable.
I never met him, but you know when you look at a picture of somebody and you're like, one of my girlfriends kept posting pictures of him because she worked with him a lot, and he just looked so happy.
I know.
And, like, had just this, like, smile, and he just looked like he was such a joyous person. It's crazy when it happens that young.
I mean, being a mom, that whole thing just...
Terrifying.
I can't even think about it.
Oh my God. That's like the parents' worst nightmares when they outlive their kids.
I had to block out what happened today with the shootings too. That's another reason why...
Wait a minute. I didn't watch the news. What happened?
Everyone's texting me, you know, let's get the kids out of school. Let's homeschool.
Tell me everything. What happened today?
There was another shooting in Santa Clarita, I think it was.
Another
I didn't watch
one?
It. I didn't watch it. All the ladies in my house had it on the Spanish news so I could... This is how I half get the news.
Yeah.
Because I won't watch the news anymore. You and I have this
panic attack.
By the way, I haven't had a panic attack in like a minute and I haven't been taking anything.
You take nothing?
No. Well, I don't take pills. I only do Rescue Remedy and CBD.
Yes, I
do. And I do like these weird flower herbs and stuff. But I stopped everything and I haven't had a panic attack. I think the being single thing has been. Help me out a little bit.
You know what? A lot of the time it's your environment, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think I was really stressing.
They say that, you know, if like I was having them really badly for a minute and a couple things changed and now they've kind of alleviated. But I still take medicine for it. I don't take, I use the CBD and I take a little bit of this stuff called Effexor.
I lived on Effexor for years when I was young.
How did you get off of it? Because it's gnarly.
When I was in my 20s, I took a lot of Prozac, and I was one of those people that became suicidal.
It really flipped me. I wasn't good on Prozac either.
But then I switched to Effexor, and I don't remember how I know why. I remember coming off of it
and the withdrawals
when I was in
are
acting
crazy.
School, and I was like, I feel nothing. And at that time, I took acting really seriously. I was a kid.
Whoa.
I was like, I need to be able to feel my feelings. Yeah. All I am is someone who feels feelings. That's
right,
how
too
I'm
much.
Defined.
Exactly.
You know, and I couldn't feel shit. So I was like, I got to get off this medication. And that's how I did it. I weaned myself off.
Yeah, but did you get the...
But with a psychopharmacologist.
Did you get sick or anything
no,
like that?
No, I don't remember. I remember feeling kind of liberated after. I think it's your mindset. I think if your mind is set to... If you know you're doing something good for yourself and you know you're healing and you know that things are going to be okay, as long as that inner dialogue is not... But, my mind's crazy. One little thing can fire off that starts talking one language that is not the language I want to hear. And then,
And then you go down a rabbit hole and then you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a dangerous neighborhood.
It's really scary. That's why I'm like clinging on to... I'm on like the lowest dose of Effexor and I'm just...
It's like a placebo.
I'm so scared to get off of it because I'm like... It's like been my crutch.
I know.
And when I've tried,
how low?
I'm on 37.5, the lowest you can go. I went from 150 to 37.5, and I weaned myself down with Prozac with a doctor, so I didn't get too much of the brain zaps. Like apparently, I've done it without Prozac, and it like you feel like you're dying, like you have the flu, and like it's like really bad withdrawal. So then when you wean down with 10 milligrams of Prozac with the Effexor, you don't get all the crazy.
You got off of Prozac with Effexor.
I use Prozac to get off of Effexor, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've taken Prozac by itself before, and I didn't like it at all.
I saved every container of my Prozac when I was young.
Yeah.
I had a bag that could cover the entire floor and walls of this place, and I was going to make a big mural out of them, and I never did it. Do you have your stuff?
That is so crazy you say that, because I opened my pill drawer the other day from all the fucking antidepressants they've tried to put me on, Celexa, Cymbalta, Wellbutrin, all this shit. My pill drawer has like 500 bottles of pills in it.
Can you please make a mural?
I was thinking to do that too. I said the same thing, like
house.
A smiley face out of all the pills.
Yes, do it. You can hang it over here in your podcast.
In my studio. Someone just peels all the pills off and starts eating them. That would be my only fear, because some of them are like, you know, good pills, like, you know, whatever. But I don't take like, you know, oxys or anything. So I'm like, oh, God. But yeah, so it's kind of like, I was thinking of doing that. So funny that you said
mine
that.
All burned in the fire. I was bummed out. I was like, my house that burned down. This is another reason why I always have anxiety.
What?
But
what
my house burned down like 4 years ago.
What fire was it?
In New York. It was whole city block. Half a city block fell down.
From what?
There was a gas explosion because this one landlord was tampering with the gas lines.
Stop. And your apartment burned down?
Mine first, and she wasn't even my fucking landlord. I was pissed.
Did you get...
And traumatized.
Did you get... Fuck, that's scary. I thought it was L.A.
I know, you would think that would happen. And I didn't even have insurance in New York because I rented since
it.
I was 21.
You're like, why am I going to have insurance? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what do I need this for? And I lost everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why I'm out here. I don't really live here. I mean, I don't drive.
I love that.
Where am I?
You teleported here. Okay, wait, we're taking a quick break, and then we're going to be back on Worst First with Drea De Matteo.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Do you want to act like you're on a break? Okay, we're back. We're back. Drea's still on a break, but I'm back. I love those glasses. Those are really cute, those 70s glasses. Okay, so we were talking about you living in New York and you coming here and you don't drive, which is actually really great. You have someone drive you.
Yeah, I drove for years, and then I, at 21, I decided, yeah, maybe this isn't a good idea.
And what made you think that? She just ran someone over. I guess it's not a good idea.
Yeah, I had my two Great Danes in the car with me, and my female doesn't like trucks, so she jumped in my lap when I was in the HOV doing 80 miles an hour.
Stop.
Stoned at 21 years
Stop.
Old.
Stop.
And she jumped in my lap, and that was it, man.
Oh my God.
I flipped the fuck out. I haven't really driven since.
Okay, wait, I have so many more questions because I've never even gotten to talk to you about this stuff, but I have questions about how you got your first big thing. Was the first big thing for you The Sopranos?
Yes.
It was. How old were you when you started The Sopranos?
I wasn't that young. I probably was 26. I think they shot the pilot in 99. I wasn't the same character in the pilot.
What were you in the pilot?
I was just a hostess in a restaurant with my hair tied back in a ponytail in a bun.
You remember one line.
Welcome
to Olive Garden.
And I couldn't say it. And I couldn't say it because it was Lorraine Bracco. It was Karen.
Yeah.
From fucking Goodfellas. There was no way I could say my line. I was petrified. No one knew who James Gandolfini was yet, so that didn't make me nervous. But she made me nervous, even though she's the nicest ever. But I was petrified.
Right.
I couldn't say my line. And 50 takes later, I finally said it. But they called me back for the series later. When they hired me for the pilot, David Chase was like, there's nothing Italian about you. Because I went with my hair in a ponytail, no makeup, no accent. I didn't know what, I thought it was about opera singers.
thought it was about opera singers?
The Sopranos.
It was called The Sopranos, dead. You're like, is this about a clan of birds who sing? Dead. You're like, I came with my bird wings. Stop. I can't. So you showed up and you were playing a hostess.
A hostess. So he's like, you can play like the snobby Connecticut hostess because that's how I see you. And I auditioned for every role, the Russian mistress, Christopher's girlfriend. Like, but there wasn't a real role for his girlfriend. It was just a girl in an episode. Then they called me back for the series. And then I knew what it was. I knew what the show was.
Yeah.
I was at my mom's house in Queens. And my grandmother was making us chicken cutlet parmesan. I'll never forget. And I get a phone call, and they're like, you need to come to the studio and audition for a day player part on this show, The Sopranos. I was like, oh, I did that show, the pilot. That's cool. I know it's an Italian thing. I was like, but I'm in Queens right now, so I can't come. They were like, we're in Queens. You need to come to Queens, right? You need to come to the studio right now. So I rushed over
there. They said, right now, just drop your shit. And like, what if you're taking a dump? Like,
right now, I was like an emergency thing. I was like, what the fuck is this emergency?
Wow.
So I said to my grandmother, wrap that fucking chicken parmesan up, make it a fucking hero.
I need a fucking to go play grandma. What if, forget about it. Throw that shit in my face while I'm walking out the door. Yeah.
My mother goes in the safe. She finds my nameplate and diamonds on a rope chain from my confirmation. She goes, wear this. She goes, and turn everything into 5 syllables and drop all your R's. And I was like, all right. I had one line. It was ow.
Ow.
I was like,
you had to walk all the way down there and say ow.
Yeah. And they said that I got the part because of the way I said ow. And it was for Christopher's girlfriend. And it was one day. It was a day player part. Uh-huh. That was it. Had it been a series regular, they never would have hired me. They would have been like Mira Sorvino or Marissa Tomei or Debbie Mazar, the girls that were used to playing those characters.
Right.
I wouldn't have gotten the fucking part. But it was one line. And then one line turned into five lines and then seven lines. And then I would be at the craft service table and David Chase would say, you know, everybody in the editing room thinks that you and Michael are really a couple because your chemistry's so good. And I was like, that's cool. He's like, do you like being on the show? I'm like, it's really fun. I really like it. It's really awesome. And then by episode 12, I was in almost every other scene. And I was reading. I was sitting in my honey wagon, which was all they had on fucking Paradise City, which was the toilet with the cushion on it, which is horrendous.
Yeah, the worst.
You sit on your toilet when you're studying your lines, you're sitting on a cushioned toilet.
Right.
You got to take a shit. You lift up your cushion. It's
true.
It's terrible.
True. The life of an actor, everyone thinks it's so glamorous.
Oh, my God, no. But back then, we had those honey wagons because I was a day player. And I'll never forget going through those pages and running to a payphone because there's no cell phones yet. And calling my mom and being like, I'm in every other fucking page. I'm on every other page. And she was a writer. And back then, not in her dementia state. She was like, oh, my God, that fucking show, Dre. The writing is beyond. She's like, I didn't even think it would see the light of day because it was so good.
And it's fucking turned out being the biggest thing ever. Yeah. Ever.
It was huge. And I wasn't a regular until season two or three, I think.
But how cool is that?
It was the coolest thing.
You, like, grew into your part.
Yeah, it was crazy. And he did that, David Chase. He would take elements from people's real lives, incorporate it into their characters, little things like the fact that he knew that I was a music freak. Uh-huh. So my character became this music kind of freak thing.
You know what's so crazy, though, is I look at you right now and you look the same. You haven't changed. And
from Sopranos?
Not one bit. You look exactly the same age. You look exactly the same.
When I was in my 20s, I looked like I was 50.
Everyone calls me 45. They're like, she's 45. Since I was like 25 when when I was on Vine, they're like, get this 40-year-old on Vine. I'm like, I'm 25, you dicks. Why is that?
I don't know. When I was 18, I was like, yeah, I'm 21. I mean, like, I was bartending at 16. So
stop.
I always looked older. When I was 14, I was like, you know, I was going to Chippendales.
And you grew up in the city.
I grew up in the city.
That's so crazy.
Wild, wild child.
But when did you decide you wanted to be an actress? Because you have the anxiety, which obviously it sucks when you are acting. Because I get that way sometimes when I go to a set and I don't know anybody. You know, if I get a job and I don't know anybody,
too.
I'm like, oh,
I don't
my
like
God.
It. I keep to myself.
Out. Yeah, I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like, it's really debilitating.
I don't like it. I've gotten better. I think that when you hit my age and if you've done enough crazy work on yourself, you can manage it. But I can't believe how much time I wasted being so scared.
I know.
You know, really. And it's still there. You know, like this year, I would say, is one of the first years that I've stepped out of my comfort zone.
Wow.
I think just being alone, being on my own, was the best thing for me because I didn't know that I didn't know what I was really. I was hiding in some ways.
Yeah.
I have anxiety, you know, or when I was really young, like, oh, you know, I have a drug problem, or, you know, you just throw that blanket over yourself. Like, I can't do this, but there's always an excuse for everything.
Right.
But getting into acting. My mom's a screenwriter. Playwright. Jesus Christ, screenwriter, playwright. So she taught playwriting for years, and I really learned how to act watching her teach and watching her plays get directed.
Wow.
Uta Hagen was in one of her plays, so I got to watch that for a long time because they would always do it over and over again. And Uta's husband would direct everything, who's Herbert Berghoff. There was the Herbert Berghoff Studios
in
New York where Uta taught. So I grew up in that studio.
Wow.
So I was destined to do something there, but I couldn't stand my mother for putting me in that environment when I was a kid because I wanted to play house. I'm watching all these fucking adults play house on stage, pretending. And I'm like, but wait, I'm a kid. I'm supposed to be playing house. If I have to sit here and watch this shit all fucking day.
You're like, I'm a kid. I'm way better at pretending than all you guys, okay? I just ate 10 fake sandwiches while I was sitting here. You guys didn't even fucking notice. What the fuck? That's crazy.
I know.
So it was fate.
I went to film school because I wanted to do the anti-theater because I was anti-theater.
Okay.
Because of that. So I wanted to go down. I was into weird experimental film. And
I want to see some of your weird experimental
films. They're all burned in the fire.
They're all burned in the fire.
Oh, it's so sad though, because I had all these crazy student films.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
and you directed them?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to see.
They were silly.
Creepy.
They were creepy.
Oh my God. And wait, you said you did drugs. What drugs did you do?
When I was young?
Yeah.
Everything.
Really?
I hope my kids never hear this.
Oh, they won't. They're too young. They're just fucking probably drawing some crazy drawings right now. Your daughter's like an insane.
It's
kind of scary.
Her on drugs.
Okay, her daughter is an insane artist. Where you're like, I thought I would draw something like that at 34, and your daughter is going to be a huge artist. Like,
no,
I hope you already
insane.
Know that.
I know.
Like, she's going really to be a huge artist. Like, there's no way.
It's my favorite thing.
She's so good.
I know.
So good.
It's otherworldly.
When you posted, I'm like, what the f-? Like, it's mind blowing that
is.
A little tiny child kid
Her
is drawing
hand.
These detailed, you know, I'm talking about the colors, the lines, like, it's very adult drawings.
Yeah, they're strange.
Yeah,
they're like the girls are really sexy.
Yeah, they are.
And she's like a sprite, like, yeah. She still plays with dolls.
Yeah, she's
wants
a little
nothing
skinny fairy.
To do with her world of mm-hmm. seventh grade, where they're already teaching them about sex trafficking and how to put on condoms, and she's
boy.
Like. Doesn't want to know about it. She's like, fuck this,
yeah.
mama, with her little dolls. I mean, her Christmas list was, you know, LOL dolls and dollhouses and baby dolls. And
yeah. She's so tiny.
And then she's like in an orange miniskirt.
And a vibrator. You're like, what the fuck? All the dolls were the like decoy for the vibrator. So
they're
you just go down the list.
They're her inspiration. They're her inspiration to draw all these
they're
sexy
her models.
Creatures. Yeah.
I love
she draws
that.
The sexiest little ladies ever.
Wow. That's so crazy. I'm so glad you had kids. I think about it and I'm like, you is the best thing ever, huh?
Yeah. It saved my life.
Really?
I think so. At that time, I was basically living on the road with my ex.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not a rock star.
You are kind of a rock star.
But I'm really not.
But you look like
one.
But
I wasn't getting paid to be there. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was just, you know, partying all the time with them and having a great time. So it was good that I, you know, that he knocked me up and left me at home for a while.
And then you
it
got your shit together.
It was time to get me off that tour bus.
And then you're like, fuck all those other shit. I'm just going to eat ice cream and get pregnant and be pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And
200 pounds.
Did you gain 200 pounds?
I was a beast.
Stop. No.
I gained 80 pounds with her.
That's what my girlfriend just did, too, yeah.
Yeah, and 60 pounds with him.
And then how do you lose that?
You roll your tits up into your bra after you lose it. My stomach is rolled up. I have rubber bands tied around it like I'm tie-dyeing it.
Stop! I can't. She just says she rolls her stomach up like she's tie-dyeing it. You're dipping it in the different colors. All right.
Yeah, and my
blue,
self-tanner.
Purple.
And my
I can't.
So I can contour
so
my abs.
Your self-tanner all just looks like a tie-dyed stomach. You're like, ooh, I've seen your stomach. It's not that stretched out at all. Not even about. So did you get a like makeover or anything? Or did you just take care of yourself?
No, I have nothing. I got nothing. I would love, if I had worked more and made more money, I might have entertained the ideas of fixing myself a little bit. Just being in this business, but
you didn't
I'm too
to
much of
it.
A fucking hippie. I don't even shave my armpits.
You don't?
I don't even care.
Do you have tons of hair?
Deep, you know. It's like I got you in a headlock.
It's braided. I can't. This is her armpit right now. I can't. It's really?
We don't take a razor to a crease in your body.
I do. I razored the shit out of everything. Then I got laser.
I did lasers on my legs. I did my pits too.
And
but
then
it grew back after the babies, but my legs still stayed good.
Thank
so
God.
Yeah, there was hairy Italian
oh
legs.
My God, we're so hairy.
No.
I had full-on man leg hair when I was like 13.
My mom was like, you're getting waxed. You're not shaving.
At least your
waxed.
Mother took you. My dad let me have leg hair until I was like 14. I was in school and people were like, geez, what the hell? Like, I was like, what? What is it? What's wrong, guys? Like, you could like braid it. It was fucking gnarly and dark.
Oh, me too.
And dark.
We're Italian.
And
brain.
I had a mustache, too. People were like,
of course.
Who's that girl? Because they didn't want to call me a girl. So they just called me a boy girl, like a girl. G-O-R-L. No, for real. I had a full-blown mustache. Like, full-on. Like, I was like, hey, guys.
Yeah, we do.
It's bad.
It's true. I used to sit and tweeze my grandmother's whole face for her.
Stop.
It was my favorite thing. Pastime.
How fun is that, though?
Dead. Oh, my God.
I used to do that. I used to pull my mom's white hairs out of her head. She used to bend over and make me get all her white hairs, pull them out.
Oh, yeah,
and they
would you
start
do that
going,
for me right now? Because I suddenly have
You don't
them
even
all.
Have stop.
I do
like,
now.
You don't.
It's new. It's this
I don't
year.
See any.
This year, the white hair came in.
You're so lucky. 50? Most people start 47. That shit right now.
I'll be 48.
You're still really young.
I'm 50.
No, you're not. Don't age 50. Yourself three
Why?
Years
When
up.
I was 18, I told everybody I was 21 so I could drink. But then
wow.
I got sober at 21.
Was it so crazy being in New York growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's
Where did you grow up?
Philly. So
oh,
kind of
so you
crazy,
were close. Did you come into the city a lot?
A lot. I did, actually, when I tried to do acting, and it was the worst.
I tried to do acting.
I did. I got taken by every scam. They're like $1,500 headshots.
The Barbizon.
Like, yeah, the Barbizon Modeling
oh,
School,
yeah,
the freaking glamour
one.
Shots, like all that shit. Like, I went to this fake... It was like this fake acting agency because I did theater plays in like Bucks County Playhouse, and this like fake acting agency was like, yeah, we're out of New York. Just come by and, you know, meet and we'll meet with you and we'll tell you what to do. So I go there and I take the fucking Greyhound bus to New York City by myself at 16, and I get to New York and I have my headshots, and I had some headshots. They weren't terrible, but they weren't good. And, you know, they were black and white at the time. That's what everyone had, black and white headshots. And people these days listening to this are like, what are headshots? I'm like, yeah, you had to walk around with paper. All digital. You have to, like, walk in with... I can't remember the last time I walked in with a paper headshot.
Yeah.
And so walking into the office with these headshots, and they weren't terrible, you know? And the guy goes, oh, no, those aren't going to work. You got to go to my guy. He's just up the street. It's $1,500. He'll give you three looks, blah, blah, blah. And this is, like, $1,500. Back in 2001, which was crazy expensive. And I was like, okay. So I like saved all my money waitressing at Bennigan's, came back, did the headshots with the guy. Then
try to take your clothes off?
No. Thank God that time, no. But that has happened before.
Oh, it happens to everybody.
To you too, right?
Oh, it happened.
They're like, it'd look better if you maybe had that off the shoulder a little bit.
Sure. Maybe we could see those hairy legs.
It'd look better if your hairy nipples were slightly peeking just above here. Guys, I had hair around my nipples too. I got that shit lasered. I did. I had monkey
you
nipples.
You have darker hair than me, though.
So
you're
dark, naturally.
Hair.
This is like, I'm wearing this wig because
haired.
I miss my dark hair, but my hair
Wait,
is
you,
naturally this color.
Right
I'm
now.
Like, dyed my hair blonde. I'm trying to be like you. I was trying to look like you, so I thought it'd be weird if I put the wig on. I take it off. It's the same hair. I love you. Thanks
Wait,
for
is
coming.
Is it still short?
Yeah, it's short as fuck. I'm so over it. I don't like it short anymore.
No, I like you with the long hair.
I like my long hair too. Everyone does. But anyway, so then I bring the new headshots to the guy, and he goes, great, here, we'll take them and we'll call you. Nothing ever. It was just like a scam that they ran.
Oh,
to like,
fuckers.
He would get like $500 every time he sent someone to the photographer.
First of all, you only go to a female to
I
get
know,
your headshots taken.
Yeah. I went to a guy and he was creepy.
Yeah, no.
But he didn't hit on me. Yeah, it was weird.
Just took your money.
I know. Tell me about what happened with you when you went to a photographer. You tried to take your clothes off. I had it happen to me too.
Oh, this was when I was in film school. Brett Ratner. Do you know who Brett Ratner is?
Oh,
he was my partner. And oh no, he was actually in my Spanish class. But he had seen my film. We had to do you had to do self portraits in film class before you could move into using a 16mm camera. So you take self portraits of yourself. You do all these you tell stories with photographs first. Mm-hmm. So my self portraits, of course, were naked. You know.
You're like, I had a fucking banging hot body. I was fucking on a bunch of drugs.
I was like, fuck. I'm laying on my terrace with my shirt off and jeans and I painted myself black because I got a little self-conscious.
Your whole body?
Yeah, I kept my jeans on, but I painted everything black, my hair, my face, my big fucking juicy titties back then.
Yes.
And those were my self-portraits. So Brett sees these and he's like, at that time, his girlfriend was Rebecca Gayhart.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We were babies.
Yeah.
I never met her, but he's like, you need to go meet with this photographer that's working with my girlfriend. Here's his number. Go. I think he sent me to his girlfriend's house or some shit. I show up. Next thing I know, I black out when I get nervous about shit, so I don't really know what happened. But next thing I know, I'm back in those days, hair on my legs like this long. dreadlocks, hairy pits. Like I had a couple.
You
of
had dreadlocks.
No, I had like eight of them,
mm-hmm.
in all around my head.
Yeah,
but I was a filthy fucking hippie. I mean, my uniform was black jeans with a car magazine hanging out of my back pocket because I was working on my Camaro at the time because that's when I used to drive.
You're so badass.
I was a dude. I just didn't want anyone to ever think that there was a possibility that I was female. Until I took off all my clothes.
And then they
and
still didn't know
because
they did. And then when they dug through the hair, then they realized.
My big titties.
Dead.
So yeah, that was my one time where I took off all my clothes.
And so what did the guy do? Was he creepy?
I just never got to see the pictures. I was like, Brett, you have to get the fucking pictures. I mean, I do want to see them, and I can't believe I took off all my fucking clothes.
Yeah.
I did it for David LaChapelle, also before David was David LaChapelle.
Wow. Was he cool?
He's awesome.
He seems
but
cool.
But I'd known him forever.
Yeah.
But somehow he managed to get me to get all my clothes off, too.
But he's not straight, so it's not.
No.
Is he?
I don't even know if the other guy was either. Yeah. But the bottom line was, I took off my clothes, and I won't even act with no clothes on.
Wow.
It's a big deal for me when I take off my clothes. Something crazy must be going on.
Right. Emotional. For me, I don't really care, but for the sake of my like parents, I'm like, I won't show my titties.
Yeah, I would never do Playboy because of my dad.
Yeah, otherwise I'd be titties out everywhere.
I know he's sitting on the toilet looking at Playboy.
I would be dead. Like, if you did Playboy right now, though, you'd probably be like hotter than like half the girls in Playboy, though.
They
dude.
Would have to put the clamps on me from behind.
Stop! The shirt clamps. It's no shirts. It's just your
clamps.
Skin.
It's
I
clamp
can't.
My
You're the worst, honestly, though, but, like, they do, like, everyone does that shit.
I was going to do it, and then there were a bunch of chances, and then I never bit down, and then when I really needed the money and I wanted to do it, it was kind of a thing of the past.
Really?
They weren't really paying anymore.
They should do, like, a Playboy issue right now where it's all, like, hot chicks that are, like, over 40.
Does it even exist anymore?
I think so, kind of. I think
magazines,
it's all digital,
everything's
right?
being reinvented right now.
Literally, Rolling Stone is this thin.
It's weird.
I picked up a Rolling Stone the other day just to read out of like, I was waiting in the grocery store and I was like, done it in 3 seconds. I was like, I remember when Rolling Stone used to be like a fucking book.
Yeah.
Used it's to be weird. Like this thick.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I'm done.
No, it's weird.
It's sad.
It's sad. Everything is changing so rapid. Well, it's been changing. The whole music industry's changing. We still
Everything.
Don't know what that's about.
No.
Film industry's changing.
I mean, at least it's like save the trees, I guess, right? Because they're using less paper, but.
Yeah.
We're saving the trees and the turtles.
There are plenty of ways to save trees that no one's thinking about, though.
Right. Honestly. let's be real here. You know, seriously.
Maybe don't light a match.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
the entire rainforest
right?
and let it burn as long as you possibly can.
You know why they're doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you find out? Because they're trying to farm. They're trying to use that land for farmland.
God, you don't even want to get me started on that sort of stuff. Because then that's a whole other show and I'll never shut the fuck up.
That should be your show.
Oh, no. I'll be like the next, like, Joe Rogan or like...
Do it. Joe Rogan's very successful. You say it like it's a bad thing. He's
no,
so
I just
successful.
Mean like the whole conspiracy
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right. But I mean, it's true.
I go way too far with that stuff. I
Do
keep
it.
All those opinions to myself and I stay at home.
We want
to
hear those opinions.
No, I want to stay at home. I don't even want to think about those things anymore. I stopped thinking about it. I stopped watching the news. I don't want to know about the politics, the government. I just kind of want to live in a fantasy land for a little while with my kids while they're still young.
That's great. I do like that.
Because I was poisoning them. They'd go to school and talk about like...
They'd be like, my mom says that... mom says that somebody lit the rainforest on fire. It was one of your parents.
Yeah. It was getting bad. It was bad. They
you know, I stopped
political.
Watching the news too because I noticed it was heightening my anxiety. So.
Me too.
But even
I started
now,
prepping.
Yes.
I went fucking psycho.
Oh my God. I know. I actually was, you know, it's weird. Sometimes I like go on eBay and I'm like, should I order like some gas masks? Some
yes,
like 20
you
cans
should.
Of beans? I do. I think about that shit.
Yeah.
I do.
I have a lot of
end
prepping.
Of the world.
I have
stuff.
A lot of end of days shit in my house.
I know. I think about that.
Yeah. I'm a little, so I had to totally stop. Oof. I was in a lockdown at my daughter's school.
Stop.
I swear, in New York. We had just gotten back to New York, and I was pregnant. No one knew I was pregnant. The kids didn't know I was pregnant. This was about 4 years ago. I didn't have another baby.
Right.
But there was a huge... we were in New York. She was in school in L.A. for the entire year. She had 2 weeks of school left in her New York school, and we were going to New York to relocate to shoot Shades of Blue at the time.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I want to finish my last 2 weeks of school at PS 41. And I was like, but why? You're done. Like, you just finished your whole school year. What kind of nerd are you? And she's like, I want to do it. Her first day back, a fucking lockdown. Get in the school! Gone. So now we're running in the school. My fucking anxiety.
Oh,
I didn't have water
done.
With me. I didn't have a full charge on my phone.
No.
You know, these are the things.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
fucking,
triggers.
I mean, I was stuck in an elevator once with my son in the car. That was an insane fucking moment. With a BlackBerry that was on its last leg and was dying.
No.
Yes. And I got stuck in there for 2 hours in a glass elevator at the Gap.
No! That's the worst part. At the fucking Gap. I'm like, elevator, it's not so bad. BlackBerry, the Gap.
And I have a fear of elevators.
I have a fucking fear of elevators. I hate that. I hate that you even just said that because now I'm going to be paranoid for a couple months every time
I get
an elevator.
And it was one floor up. I couldn't fucking walk. I left my infant son sleeping in a car seat in a car service. It's usually the guy, I usually know the guy who drives me, but this was a different guy that day. So I was like, and I knew he was trustworthy, but still.
That's a lot of anxiety.
And I ran in to get my daughter a sweatshirt because she was at the beach. We were in Santa Monica, the piers. And I fucking go in that elevator for 2 minutes. I didn't bring water because I know I'm just going in and out. The car's outside. Yeah. I get stuck with a little family with an infant and a little girl. And they all they have is breast milk. And I'm thirsty. And I'm like, you guys might have to give me a sip of anything that you have. I don't care what it is you have, but if it's formula, or they're like, well, it's breast milk. I was like, I don't care. I said, my mouth's really dry. It's part of my anxiety. It's like a thing.
Did you drink the breast milk?
No.
Oh my God. You didn't?
But I warned them.
You did.
I said, I'm going to freak out. Yeah. I just have to know that I'm allowed to.
To have it. Yeah. Just tell me it's okay so I know I'm not going to die. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know why I carry Gatorade everywhere now? Like, I have a full bottle of Gatorade everywhere I go
because
I get so scared. My biggest fear is getting, because I've had my blood sugar drop really bad one time.
Me too.
I'm so hypoglycemic. I think it's an Italian thing. I had my blood sugar drop one time and I had nothing, and I was stuck in a super shuttle coming from the airport.
Oh no.
And I was so far from my house and they wouldn't stop. They were like, we have to take people home, and I had nothing to drink and I had no candy, I had nothing on me, no one in the car had anything, and I was like, can we please just, I'm like shaking and I was freaking out, and then I was too embarrassed to like force the driver to pull over, so I was like just shaking, like going into shock, and then I finally got a drink. But now I always have Gatorade with me no matter what, or a banana.
I always have the banana.
Always.
Bananas,
and
but they'll
water.
Get crushed.
Yeah.
But I used to always have to have something sweet in my bag too because of that.
Yes.
And then I got myself into a place where I don't eat until 3 o'clock every day.
What?
And it was working. And it was in my head that I needed to have something.
Sugar. Yeah. See, I get that way. Even if I'm not hungry.
Yeah,
I'll eat it because I'm like, I don't want to feel that way again. I'm traumatized.
It's scary.
Oh my God, I can't believe you guys. That's so fucking worse. The worst time I was stuck in an elevator and I almost drank breast milk.
I know. That topped the story of the lockdown for me.
Totally. What was the lockdown for, though? Was there someone
with a gun? There was a guy outside waving a gun because there was a man on a bicycle delivering caviar. So he cut off. He was a punk ass kid delivering caviar on his bicycle. Cut off this guy in his car. They got into a fight.
Right.
The guy in the car gets out. The guy on the bicycle gets off. He pulls out an ice pick from his ice thing.
Uh-huh.
So the guy in the car pulls out a gun.
Oh my God.
And he's an off-duty fucking cop in front of a school. What an asshole.
Ugh.
I mean, the ice pick, if you're an off-duty cop and you're a tough guy, you can handle the fucking ice pick,
right,
I'm sure.
Right.
And the guy's not going to stab you with a fucking ice pick anyway. He's just some punk ass kid. But this guy pulls his gun and starts waving it, and now they push us all into the school. But we don't know what the problem is.
Right,
this is
right after in the school. Yeah.
We don't know anything, but they push us in the school. And I was like, I have anxiety around other parents.
Yeah.
And now they're making us all sit in the gym. So you had to see me trying to find a private place to go where the shooter was not. Because in my mind, there's a shooter now in the building.
Right, you're like hiding behind the bleachers.
And I'm with my daughter, and I'm pregnant, and Blackjack is at the other school across the street waiting for me. It was like a whole fucking, it was scary, dude.
And then Karen's trying to get you to join the PTA meeting. She's like, listen, I know this is kind of a crisis situation, but next month.
I think people saw how I freaked out and everyone just stayed the fuck
good.
Away from me.
I do that too.
I found an electrical outlet. I got a charger.
Yeah.
And I just fucking sat there and tried to find out what was really going on.
Oh,
and all my
God.
Friends left their jobs and came to the school. Everybody was waiting outside of the school.
Are you going to take your kids out of school?
I'm thinking about it.
I think you should.
It freaks me out.
It's getting really bad.
It hadn't for a while. It was quiet.
No, but it's getting bad.
And just when I'm thinking, oh, it's quiet, it happens again.
Don't. And you know what? It's just it keeps happening and it's not stopping.
She doesn't want to be homeschooled, though. We almost were going to homeschool her over the vaccines, but but she likes the social life of school. But they do have these systems set up for homeschooling where it can be a very social atmosphere. You do a lot of after school stuff. It's a lot of effort on the parents' part. It's easier to take your kids and leave them at school and pick them up. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
It definitely is getting a lot more involved, but there's got to be other ways. So we're researching it. My girl who's with me here today, I asked her to research that while.
Do like a small school, like one where they like, you know, it's a private, more of a private situation and, you know, all the kids are know who everybody is and that kind of thing. And it's not like, you know, these public schools, it's hard because there's so many kids from so many different walks of life.
But even the privates have the same issue. I mean, if it takes one fucked up kid.
I know. You know. Do they have metal detectors and stuff in all the schools now?
They don't.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And this supposedly, I think Letty was telling me, that my kid's nanny, that this was like some, like, you know, fancy public school.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Lockdown in the school that I was in was another fancy fucking public school.
That's why I'm just like, I would just take my kid out just because I'd be so paranoid. I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't make me feel good sending them to school. It really, every time you let your kid walk in, and I can't believe I think this every day. It's like it could be the last day you see your kid.
Oh, I know. I hate that.
And you just have to like take a leap of faith. And someone like me who's anxiety ridden like you, you try to not let that get the best of you. So you want to be cool and you want to be laid back and be like, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Because then your anxiety bleeds
over onto them. And then it starts going to everything.
And then everyone thinks you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to be cool. But it's like, at what cost? So that I can be cool?
Right.
I don't understand. Is it my anxiety or is this a reality?
I stopped going to the movies.
I did too for a minute. And now I'm going
done.
Again.
You are?
Even concerts. I'm and done. Now I'm going again.
I'm done. I can't. I can't sit in a movie theater without being
I watch
so
everything
scared.
And I need to know where the exits are and I have to be on the aisle.
But I just don't think they're set up well for exiting. Like it's like
no,
if someone
not.
Goes in the front, if you got to go down to get out.
You didn't want to go see the Joker in the movie theater?
I saw the Joker, but I didn't have to go to a movie theater.
Did you read all
God.
The news on I mean, people were sending me the stuff.
Know.
The FBI was saying with incels, all these guys that are.
It's crazy, though. It's real life.
I know.
And it's getting really, really scary.
It's bleak.
On that note, to instill everyone's paranoia further, you should do a paranoid podcast where you just talk about everything you're paranoid about. I'd totally be on there with you. We'd do like a 4-hour episode of
Why
what about this?
Why is this paranoid?
Totally paranoid. Worst first, the worst shit that's ever happened to you, when it's going to happen again, why you should be scared of it. Totally paranoid. My whole life.
So
paranoid
what
about everything.
Is it? What is it? Your the first worst?
Well, it started because I was going on so many bad dates and I couldn't fucking believe it. And I was talking about them on
oh,
my
it's
like,
worst first dates?
Worst first dates. It started as worst first dates. And then most of the time people tell a worst first date. And then it turned into worst first jobs, worst first, you know, drug trip, worst first, like, you know, anything. Because there's so many worst first, you know, it's not just dates. So guess who's here? Liz Carey.
No. No.
Yay. Okay, guys.
I mean,
well,
it's hot in here.
Make sure to follow Drea. Your Instagram is just Drea De Matteo.
Yes, yeah, just
is your name, right?
Just me.
Just go on Instagram, follow her, Drea De Matteo. Make sure to like and subscribe. Thank you so much for everyone who's tuned into these episodes every week. And thank you for all your wonderful comments and all the love we get on iTunes. I love all you guys. Make sure to send my girl some love. And we'll see you next week on Worst Firsts.
Where is she?
She's in the I can't see her. It's like a like an interview.
I just see you. This is fucked up.
It's fucked up.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.